You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca. As we welcome to the show once again, the longtime voice of the Toronto Argonauts, a huge CFL fan, Mike Hogan, joins us. Hoagie, how you doing, buddy?
I'm better than my dog, who's just barking now. Somebody must be at the door. So I apologize in advance.
Oh, okay.
That's Jack. You know the deal. He's been on the show before.
Yeah, he's got a serious guard dog, eh? A serious guard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like mine, right? Barks. Well, actually, my dog never barks when anybody comes to the door. But, man, if there's any big dog walking on the path behind the house, her 14 pounds, she'll let him know. It's hilarious, but...
Yeah, mine's 30. He thinks he's 300.
Yeah. Awesome. Let's start, unfortunately, with the sad news in the CFL today. It's going to be an emotional game tonight in Hamilton. Ted Govea, like, just such a brutal story, Mike. A guy who grinds it out, you know, finally gets his dream job and then, unfortunately, gets sick.
Yeah, sometimes the football gods are a-holes, right? I mean, here's a guy who just busted it. Everybody in the league loved him. You know, I think every time a general manager's job came up over the last 5 years, Ted was not only interviewed, but was seriously considered for it, and rightfully so, and probably longer than that. He finally gets the gig. He's from Burlington, which is basically, you know, the twin city of Hamilton. It's right next door. And he's been living there, even though, you know, he's working in Toronto and Winnipeg. Home base was always Burlington. He gets his first general manager's job, finally, and it's at home. It's perfect. And then this, and it's like, oh my God. And then, you know, if the football gods aren't bad enough, they have Ted Govea night, because everybody kind of in the community knew how sick he was. They wanted to celebrate his life before he passed, and he dies the morning of Ted Govea night in Hamilton. It's like, oh man, such a good dude. So anybody who ever met Ted or has crossed paths with him is pretty sad today, even though, you know, those of us who've known decently well have known for quite some time that this wasn't going to end happily.
Yeah, well, it's very unfortunate, no question, for Ted and his family, and really for the Argos family, for sure. Sorry, the Tiger Cats and everybody around the league. You know, Ted's, you know, a really good guy for anybody who's covered the CFL, I think, who knows Ted. He loved the game. He loved football. He respected it. You know, scout for a long time. So that will be an emotional night for sure. And it's kind of fitting in a way that both of the team that he currently is employed by and the one that he was employed by and was part of their championships will be there. So, yeah, I'm guessing there'll be lots of people watching that from afar and people going to it to honor him tonight. And then tomorrow, of course, you have the red hot Edmonton Elks coming in Toronto all of a sudden, Mike. But the Argos have... you know, Nick Arbuckle, who leads the league in passing, he's completing 72% of his passes. He's had an unreal season so far for the Argos. But are they too reliant on the run or the pass, or is it because they've been trailing in games so they pass more?
No, it's they haven't been able to establish the run. Although the last couple of games with, you know, Spencer Brown, who you guys had on your PR this year, things have changed. Like, he's been really good over the last couple of years or last couple of weeks in the two starts that he's had. And, you know, in the two starts, he's rushed for 175 yards with a touchdown. He's had 98 more in the air. So, like, he's become a weapon. He has one touchdown and he ran for a 2-point conversion as well. So he's giving them an element in their game that they didn't have for most of the season. This is the 13th game. He's the fifth running back to start a game. Because of injuries and just in a couple of cases, it just didn't work out from a talent level. So, I mean, it's been a real revolving door at running back, and the Argos are hoping that Spencer Brown can kind of settle things down at that position for a while.
Yeah, no question about it. So, the Elks offensive line coming off their best game against a pretty good Calgary offensive line, doesn't give up a ton of sacks. And they did it without Ceresna. They did it without Robbie Smith. Funny enough, Brinkman's banged up, but he is going to play again today. You look at the offensive line of the Argos, and when I see their quarterback passing for that many yards, he must be getting pretty good protection.
At times, I mean, they've also surrendered a lot of sacks.
Okay.
If there's been one thing that's really improved from Nick Arbuckle from the beginning of the season to now, It's sort of his pocket presence. And he's so patient now, where historically, you know, he came into the season career with more interceptions and touchdowns, right? And he seems to have eliminated that. He's only thrown a couple of interceptions in the last six games. Do you want his prorated numbers, by the way, over the last six games? This is crazy. So six games in the CFL is a third of the season, so it's not exactly a really small sample size. If you prorate his last six games, Nick Arbuckle would have 6,400 passing yards, second all-time in CFL history, 42 touchdowns and six interceptions. That's how well Nick Arbuckle's playing. And, yeah, the offensive line has a part of it. So they're holding their blocks. There are still breakdowns, obviously. But what he's done exceptionally well is just take his time, step up, and I guarantee tomorrow it'll look like he's going to run and he's going to pull up maybe a yard short of the line of scrimmage and complete a pass 10, 12 yards downfield to move the sticks. He's been exceptionally good at that in the last few games, and it's something that maybe he didn't have in his toolbox earlier, but it's just the fact that he's played so much. I mean, he's never played 12 games in a row since college, so this is a pretty good time to be Nick Arbuckle.
Oh, God, yeah. Now, the story came out that once Chad Kelly's healthy, he's going to be the starter, but I'm not sure I believe it. Like, I understand that you quote, don't lose your job because you're injured, but when the guy who's taken over your job is leading the league in passing in 72%, like, it's hard to just go back to Chad Kelly. What do you see happening there?
I don't know. You know, for Ryan Dinwiddie, it's kind of a no-win, no-lose situation, right? I mean, you're Nick Arbuckle has, over the last half of the season, or the first two-thirds, I mean, he's been the best quarterback in the league. If you take him out, you're putting in Chad Kelly, who brings you things that Nick Arbuckle can't do. You know, there's some strong-armed guys in the league. Chad Kelly's got the strongest arm in the league. He makes throws that other guys can't. That's why, you know, he's been able to do what he can do when he's healthy in this league. He's a bit of a freak of nature that way. So you've got that behind you. That opens up the playbook for what Ryan wants to do. And if you go with Kelly and he doesn't do well, you go back to Arbuckle. If you go with Arbuckle, he falters, you go to Kelly. You know, there's an old line that says if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. I don't think that's the case here. I think they've got two really good guys, and it's just a question of which one is going to go in. And, you know, that's up to the coaching staff. But I know Dinwiddie is enamored with what Chad Kelly's arm can open up for his offense.
Mike Hogan joins us here on Sports 1440, Oilers Nation, YouTube, Facebook, X, and Instagram. Mike, looking at the defense, and you see the Argos defense, you know, Cody Fajardo is the main thing, but Justin Rankin right now, like, he absolutely ran roughshod over Calgary last weekend, and he has been dynamic, not only running the ball, but catching the ball out of the backfield. How do you see them and how they're going to try to defend Rankin?
Yeah, I'm curious to see that myself because I don't know what they'll do. They can go with a four-man front. If they think the key to slowing him down, I don't know if you can stop him or not the way he's going, but you might be able to slow him down by getting a couple of extra athletic guys in there. So I don't know, maybe they go some extra three-man front, and that way you can get McManus and Judge and Dark Angelo on the field with Aaron Casey, who's been just a revelation this year. He's dynamite. So you could maybe put four of your best, if not your four best defensive players on the field at the same time and, you know, let them go nuts. And maybe that's the way you do it. Maybe it forces him, if they go to a 34, forces him into the middle a little bit more, and then he's going to run right at McManus and or Dark Angelo and or Casey. So it's a good problem to have from a linebacker perspective, but I don't know what they do. I mean, it's just whatever other teams have been throwing at Edmonton hasn't been working. So I'm sure this has been what's kept Kevin Ivan and Jason Shivers up at night this week, trying to figure out how to slow him down and take your chances with Cody, which isn't necessarily a great option B.
No, well, you know, hey, the passing game of the Elks without Dunbar is definitely hurt. There's no question.
Yeah.
And I think they've had to, and even Mathis was a huge target for them and was somebody they wanted to use a lot of, but Unfortunately, he hasn't been around. Now, Hilaire has come in. He's been pretty good. You know, they've got decent guys there, but it's definitely a combination of the two. And if the running game gets going, then, you know, it's really hard to stop. That's the key. What about special teams? How would you rank their cover team and their return game in Toronto?
You know, it's Janarian Grant, and he's been supplemented on kickoffs with Jake Herslow, who's been quite a story as well. So they're fine there. Haggerty, I think, is still leading the league in punt average. The coverage team hasn't been great on punts or kickoffs this year. It's been a real problem. But for the first half of the season so far, the injuries have been crazy on coverage teams. Jack Cassar is their leading tackler. Brian Harelimana is their captain out there. Teodric Hansen has been injured as well. Like, they've all been out of the lineup. And now everybody's healthy there. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the last three games, the net punts have all been over 40 yards, which, you know, because the team had been averaging closer to 33, that's a hell of a difference. So that seems to be getting better. And Liram Hirelahu's money, he's been just dynamite this year. He's missed four. A couple were, one was 50-plus. He hit the upright. He had another one from almost 50. So he's hit two uprights this year. And they threw him in late in a game in Ottawa. I don't think he was ready to go in. It was like the last play. And they were playing for the 3 points because of a possible plus minus. So, you know what kickers are like. They get finicky and they want to know exactly when they're going in. And I don't think he was ready, nor was the unit. And he kind of shanked that one at the end of the game. So he's been money this year. So the return game's been okay. Better with Grant. Better with Herslow and Grant. The two kickers are good, but the coverage teams are probably, if there's a weak spot, that's what they have to exploit. And that's with Leak back there, that's a good guy to try and exploit the with.
You look around the league, Mike, and you know, Calgary, Hamilton, Saskatchewan, they're all comfortable and they're going to make playoffs. But the other three playoff spots are wide open. You look at crossover potential from BC or Edmonton. Heck, they could catch Winnipeg. They're only a game ahead of both of them. And then you got the Argos and Ottawa are only one game back of Montreal. Like, the races are great. Who do you like ultimately?
Well, I am an employee of the Toronto Argonauts, so yes, I like the Argonauts. but also, like, I don't know. I mean, I think a lot in Winnipeg's position depends on how Kolaris is. You know, that's, you know, not to knock Streveler, but it's a pretty big step down in terms of the passing game.
Yes.
Obviously, Streveler can do some stuff that Kolaris can't. Kolaris can do some stuff that Streveler can't. But in a pass-heavy league, you'd rather have the passer than the runner. BC, I can't figure them out. You'd think they'd have a few more wins under their belt. Montreal, again, without Davis Alexander, and they get McLeod Bethel-Thompson back for the game tomorrow night. So at least they have their number two in there. But they're a different team without Alexander. They're finally starting to get healthy, so I expect them to be tough to catch for Ottawa or Toronto. Hamilton, they're schizophrenic, right? I mean, they had lost three in a row. They probably should have lost four in a row because of the drop in the end zone in the game against Edmonton.
Yeah.
Right. So that should have been a four game losing streak. And then they looked pretty good last week. So I can't figure them out. I know you guys looking in at the Argos can't figure us out. And we looking at ourselves can't figure us out sometimes as well. So I just like there's six teams, you know, kind of throw a net over them, maybe seven teams. And isn't it great that there's no 1-11 team at this stage of the season and no team that's, you know, 11-1 and has run away from everybody else? There is some serious parity in this league this year, and I don't mind that because, you know, the Argos 2 weeks ago were, you know, people were writing us off. And if things fall the way they could, and it's not a long shot to think they could fall this way, the Argos could be in a playoff spot by the time they go to bed Saturday night, which – a month ago, I think people would have kind of went, yeah, they're not going to the playoffs.
Ah, well, it's same with the Edmonton Elks,
yeah,
for sure.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Give me your thoughts. Now, we have basically a third of the season left, so there's tons of time. I don't see an obvious MOP. Arbuckle has to be in the conversation just because, A, the position and the numbers. Now, the record kind of hurt Bo Levi Mitchell last year, so it might hurt him. But who would you see as other candidates in the East, and then do you see anybody as an obvious choice in the West?
I think in the East, you know, Bo's still throwing the football really well. If Davis Alexander had been healthy, he may have been a lock the way that they started. Ottawa, you know, because it's wide open, if Ottawa makes a run, like, they're not dead yet. You know, Drew Brown, they're a different offense when he's in there. So I think you'd probably look at a quarterback or maybe Kenny Lawler in the East, but probably a quarterback. Out West, I think it's whoever gets hot. I mean, Trevor's been dynamite this year. Just fantastic. And, you know, so is Vernon Adams. It's a quarterback, I hate saying it's a quarterback-driven league. Football is a quarterback-driven sport.
Right.
And if you've got a good one, it helps a hell of a lot. If you don't, it shows up in a hurry. So, Oliveira isn't having the kind of season he did last year. So I would assume it's going to be a quarterback at this stage, if not Kenny Lawler, if he lights it up the way he did in the first half.
Mike, as always, great stuff, buddy. Enjoy the game in afternoon. Oh, that's perfect, man. You're home just in time for dinner, early night, have a beer. You can watch some other stuff. It's perfect.
A cold beer after a win is always the best kind of beer.
It's true. Even after a loss, never that bad, but it's obviously better after a win, for sure. Mike, have a great positive Friday, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, pal.